Some people are forever causing you trouble and problems and never really help. Now, there's a lot of things that I'd like to say tonight. And as I said, you that come for the program, if you're not interested in the word of the Lord, you're dismissed and you can leave and nobody will feel bad at you. Those that came for the word, that is, you can remain. And the others can come back after the preaching if they would like to see the program. I noticed tonight that we had the gathering out here, that people who hardly ever darkened the door of the church, they were there for the presence. I noticed when we had the dinner and the gathering down here, or the supper, I noticed people that did not come to church came to feed their bellies. And that thing upsets the Lord. Did you know that? And I'm his mouthpiece to tell you that it upsets him. I want to say again that the Bible teaches that your folly will be made manifest, and it has been made manifest. And while the Lord is blessing the saints of God and those who have labored so fervently with us, then God is also showing you up to the public as those that have not treated him right. We've got some more programs planned for God and things planned for Christ that I mentioned to Brother Owens in the late evening. And I believe that they'll be real good and real helpful and be mighty in winning souls. And Brother Owens sound real favorable. He thought it would be so too. And I hope we'll be able to progress toward it. Now, our TV program for Channel 46, the program, it won't be this week, but it'll be in a week or so, that Brother Jimmy Kirk will be on the program where they interviewed him last night and talked with him. And Jim gave a wonderful testimony. And the cameras caught him real good as he talked and discussed a few things with Brother Mitch. Brother Mitch interviewed him. And Brother Mitch is announcing for that program that week. Brother Bill has helped us in the announcements of the programs, and so has Brother Gary Armstrong. Gary was on, I believe, this past week, and Bill the week before. And I'm not sure, but I believe this week, I believe Bill is on again. I'm not sure. I believe he's doing the announcing this week. And then the following week, I believe it is, that will be the program that Mitch will be announcing on, and where Jim has the interview. And our spiritual program of heart to begin with was for one thing, and that is that we were planning to interview different ones at Bethlehem, and not only different ones at Bethlehem, but we are planning to interview some other people. Not the governors and not the bankers. We may have some celebrity of that kind on at different times. But you know, it's easy to get them. All you got to do is tell them you want them on TV and they'll be here. On your radio programs, and they'll gladly come. And that's usually what evangelists do. But we have plans to go down to the prison and interview some boys behind the bars, and go down to the old folks' home and interview some people that's shut off from the world, and go down to the orphanage and interview some children that are without mothers and daddies, and go down to Skid Row and interview some people that are cut off from mankind, so that we can bring them to the public and create a concern about them and let them know that God is concerned about those that are in prison. He said, when you make a feast, don't bid the rich that can recompense you again. But when you have a feast, he said, bid the poor to come, and they that cannot recompense you again, and then you'll have a recompense by God at the judgment. So then our program will be a little bit different. We're intending to go in that direction and talk to those that labor in Christ like yourself, to interview our brothers and sisters here at Bethlehem, to where people can hear a true testimony, and project our men who believe in talking holy and living holy, and our ladies who believe in living holy and dressing holy. This is our desire. You know, anybody is willing to help if it's to do nothing. How do you know that? And to be seen by everybody. I have had this to happen to me since I've been in these kind of programs. I've had people to come up, you know, and I remember an occasion and where somebody said, all you got to do is tell me I'm ready to help you. And I said, the TV and those things, ready to help you. I'm right here ready to help you when you get ready for TV and whatever. They made me to know I'm ready. I said, well, we've got some other things that needs to be done. And they said, well, I'm going to leave and got to go. And it was altogether different. So see, people are ready to help you if it's fame, popularity, money, whatever. But people are not too ready to help you if it means getting out, doing a little work, giving a little offering, laboring a little bit, being out where they're not seen. We intend to have some interviews from our painters right out on the job and film them right out there to where they can tell about Jesus. See, they're the ones that's supporting Jesus. The Bible teaches that you don't find prophets in king's palaces. We want to find Cinderella with the dirty hands and the dishpan hands, because that's the one that God is looking for, and this message has to do with God. So we're going to seek and search out that which is lost. So we might not get by your house at all, in that you're so sure that you're so sure, then there's a good possibility that we won't even be visiting you at all. But those that are concerned about God, those are the ones that we're looking for. All right, I've got a lot of things that I'd like to say. As a matter of fact, I'd like to do a little teaching. I marvel, Brother Taylor, at the people here and their lack of hunger. But you know, it's like when the Jews lost their hunger. They had the kingdom, and they lost their hunger. And when they lost their hunger, the Gentiles just slipped right in, and they were just starving. And Paul the Apostle turned away from the Jews. He shook his raiment, said, your blood be upon your own head. You won't listen. I go to the Gentiles. And the Lord just walked off and left them and went to the Gentiles. And thus it was that the Gentiles gladly received him. And I marvel at the lack of hunger that some of you have. I noticed that the other day, our black brother, Brother Denny, come in from the road, and Denny has really been so sure that he was sure that he was sure. And now he's not too sure that he was right when he was sure. And he eased in the other day, and while you didn't have any appetite, he spent hours upon hours sitting and wouldn't leave, wouldn't budge, wouldn't stop, and fed like a starving man for hours. And Brother John and him stood by and witnessed. Brother Johnny and Brother Roger. And even though he made what I'm about to say a little more personal in the direction of the minister, yet I'd like to express it like this. He said, in essence, he said, with all of my travels and wherever I've been, everywhere, I've never encountered anything like this. Never. Never. He said, it's done blowed my mind. All right. So then a lot of times people will say, what are you doing here? Come and go with me. And then later they'll find out what you're doing here. But you know, it's a lot like the prodigal son. The son that stayed home really didn't do his father any good. He just caused him a lot of problems. But the prodigal that roamed, run around, spent all of his living, wasted it on the world and the evil things of the world. One day he came to his senses and he decided to go back home. And he decided that rather than fill his belly with the husk that the swine is eating, that he would go back to his father's house. and have food. And Jesus spoke in a parabolic saying one time. He said to two people, he said, go and do such. And the man said, sir, I'll go. But the Bible said he went not. And he said to another one, he said, or the other one said to him rather, said, I won't go. When Jesus said unto him, go. He said, I won't go. But the Bible said later he repented and did go. Then Jesus asked the question, said, which one of these did the will of him that bade him to do the thing he desired? And they said, Lord, the one that said he would not go and repented and did go. And Jesus said, you've judged right. So then you said you would go, but are you really going? Are you really standing at the door? Are you really hungry? You know the trouble with the church world today. Jesus said you are religious. You stand at the door. You won't walk upright. You won't pay your bills. You won't be a light. You won't give to the work of God. You won't exercise your ability to live holy and to testify and to be clean. You stand as a religious person at the door to gossip, to bicker, to backbite, to find fault, to tear down, to divide the brotherhood, and to have a melancholy spirit that somebody has mistreated you. The Bible teaches God hates those kind of people. You stand at the door and you won't go in. And there's people out there that would come in, but they can't get past the middle wall of petition. They can't get around you. You keep them all out. That's why God sent the papers. That's why God sent the TV. That's why God sent the things he sent. You remember I said he would do that. That he would get around you that are so sure that you know and that you understand. And that he'd get to the hungry and he'd get to the needy and he'd get to the suffering. Didn't I say that? I said it's time for it to go back out to them now. The Lord pulled us off of the field and he sent us to you, a group, that he might seal in a people for a word. And then after that, go back to those that are without. See, he is going to those that are without. It's like Brother Junior said one time when the in the vision where he saw us and the angels of God were saying, come on, come on. And I was still trying to hold on to my people. He said, come on. And finally, I had to turn away and go to the vast multitude of people that was waiting for the gospel. And that's the way it is. You know, they'd like for us to come into Korea. And they'd like for us to come into South America. And they'd like for us to come to different churches and different places and talk to them. But I love little Bethlehem and I love my people. But folks, you tried to put a yoke on me and you tried to pin me down. And you tried to make me do the way your spirit wanted me to do and the way you think that I ought to do. And act and suppress me and control me by your feelings and desires. See, and you didn't do that to me. You did that to God. Because the Bible said it's not me that speaketh, but it's God. Not I that liveth, Paul said, but it is Christ. And in doing these things, see, you've hindered the work of God. As it was with Brother Branham, and I remind you again, when the voice said to him, your people will not feed, go west. When they tried to suppress him. Like Brother Roberts one time, I remember he wrote a little article and he said, I can't have a few people dominating my life. Please pray for me. It's always that way with the minister. See, your mind strong-spirited. Think like you will toward me. Feel like you will. Reason in your mind. See, all of that I feel and hear and see. And it talks and it suppresses. See, suppresses. People working in wrong ways and undermining ways. Even the other day I came up and somebody was in the truck with Johnny. And he was just, him and Johnny was just warring like two warriors. Because he was, from what Johnny said, trying to separate him from the faith of what God's doing. Is that correct, Johnny? Don't you know the Lord can't bless that kind of thing? God can't do that. When you go out on the job and you do those things and you get with the brethren, the Bible teaches that God despises those people that cause division. Those people that do things to reproach the gospel and reproach his way of life. God despises those kind of things. God despises people that will come out on the campground and come to different places and top land that could be for people that want to work for God, and they just sit there and all they want is a little nest egg and a little place to stay and don't want to help and don't want to share and don't want to do nothing. They just want to keep a place tied up and don't want to get with the brotherhood and do nothing. The Lord despises that kind of thing. So you need to wake up, folks. You need to wake up. Now, I didn't know I was going to say all of that, but in the midst of all of that, God's got a people. Few, he said, there be that find it. Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. And in the midst of all of that, God's got a Cinderella. God's got somebody that labors with their hand, that loves God, that loves him, and in the secret of their heart, they think on him, and they think on the brotherhood, and they think on the body of Christ, how lovely and beautiful it is, and what they're doing, and what they'd like to help. And they cry and weep before God, saying, my God, let me help. But at the same time, there are others that go along side by side, men and women alike, and they're trying to figure out how to root you out and get control of the church, or to get control of your following, or get somebody to follow them, or to persuade somebody that they're some great person and that they ought to listen to them rather than to you. Now, I want to ask you a question. How would you feel, you men, if you had a man that was right beside you all the time and in and out your house, and all the time he was butting with you and telling you how much he thought of you, and at the same time he was trying to seduce your wife and draw your wife away from you? How would you like that? See, God doesn't like it either. Paul said, I have espoused you to one, even the Lord Jesus Christ. You're married to him. Isn't that right? He said, I'm married unto you. Is that Bible? So then you're married to the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when another person comes to subdue you, to turn you around, that's the mind of the devil. Did you know that? And that mind is in the body of the devil. Because the mind of Christ is in the body of Christ. And you're married to that, one to another, to the membership of the body. And when that other mind talks to you, that's the mind of the devil, and it's in the body of the devil. And if you don't watch out, you'll be flirting with the devil, and you'll be drifting off with the devil and going to the devil. And you will be sinning against God, and God will cast you out like he did Israel because you played the harlot. So you need to watch what you're doing. Many of you have already been cut off because you played the harlot and went contrary to God. And you'll never be his lovely bride. But there's still some of you that have tried to stay clean from the world, clean from gossip, clean from just having something new to tell somebody or something to do out there. You've tried to stay clean from that and stay holy and pure, and you belong to Christ. All right, so whether you listen to your own carnal mind or whether you listen to the carnal mind that's in somebody else, you're still guilty. I wish you could be in that lovely bride. It is so beautiful. Now, I would like, as I said, I would like to teach a little bit tonight, but I know that all I can do is just talk with you just a little bit and exhort you, because they've got their program tonight, and I don't want to disappoint the little ones in that they want to do their part for Jesus. And I've already said quite a few things anyway in leading up to this, because I was just going to talk to you a little. But I really need to teach you some things, and I want to, and I wanted to, but you've not been hungry. You've not been thirsty. See, we put a loaf of bread over here in the oven, and over here we put some meat in the freezer, and we say, well, we're not hungry, we just nibble. But you let those little starving children over yonder in Africa and the different places that don't have any food, you just let them come in and turn them loose. There won't be a slice of bread left. Won't be a piece of meat left. Is that right? Brother Denny was so hungry till I finally just said, Denny, I got to go. Brother Owens is waiting on me up yonder, and he still didn't want to quit. All right. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Not he that cometh to church, because there's thousands of them that go to church every day. Around the world, the Catholics get up before daybreak to have their mass. Now, as I said, I want to say again, I would love to be able to teach, because there's some of these things that I'd love to try to explain. I would like to try to explain them to you. It would take days, but things that would thrill your heart if you really had a hunger. But I know that I'll never get to do that unless I feel more concern for spiritual things than I felt. I have, at times, the Lord has blessed me, and I've come in and he has created maybe an atmosphere of hunger in that he was doing a specific thing at little Bethlehem at that very moment. So he created a real hunger. But folks, you don't have any drive for the offices. You don't have any drive for the publication of the gospel. You don't have any drive to get the gospel out there to them by radio or TV or by anything else. I marvel at the way you do. I was just telling Brother Owens today, sometimes we have a TV program. Some of them don't even bother to straighten their collars out, knowing that it's going to millions of people. How foolish, you know, when we're supposed to be the light of the world. We should be ever so diligent, ever so concerned about what we say, what we think, what we do, what we publish. Everything that we do or say, we should be so careful that we're preaching the gospel or testifying the gospel or giving a light, because those people need a helping hand. The thoughts that you think toward me and have thought toward me for 6 or 7 years, you have to answer for every one of those evil or base thoughts. Now, I'd like to say this tonight. I hear men complaining a lot of times. They go out here and they'll blast some brother that got behind with his bills. They'll just blast him. They'll tear him down and they'll ridicule and they'll do everything that they can to cut him to his heart. But did you know, and I know this doesn't hold true in all cases, but do you know what a mother's job is? Her job is to follow after the children and clean up the mess. Isn't that right? Isn't that what a mother's for? The Bible said we're all the children of God in Christ. It's the mother's job that when the child throws an old dirty sock over here to pick it up and wash it. And when the child puts his little greasy, dirty, muddy hands on the refrigerator to wash it off. It's mama's job to do that. But instead of you mothers going out there and you parents, you fathers in the gospel, instead of going out there and cleaning up the dirty mess out there and trying to explain to the people and saying, well, now, this is one of the people in Bethlehem, but now you've got to realize you've got the same problems out yonder, and that we've got little spiritual children out there coming in all the time, and they make a mess, and we just have to clean it up. Instead of doing that, you go up there and you blast them. I know that they should not go unpunished, and especially if it's some of the people that are among us that knows better. God will get them for that. You don't have to jump on Saul. God will get Saul for his wrong. Leave him alone. Isn't that right? So leave them alone. God will take care of that. But the little children, I know that they don't altogether go unpunished. I know that they have to have a good spanking, a good tanning. And sometimes if they practice the wrong, you have to really lash them real good with a belt, not to abuse them, but to keep them in line. But you ought to be ashamed of yourself to do the way you do. Not give them a chance to grow up. Not be willing to clean up behind them. And not be willing to help. Someday God will get you because you are a poor mother in Christ. And you are a poor father in Christ. In that you don't watch after the children. You're not concerned about their welfare spiritually or naturally or any other thing. Isn't that right? You need this little talk tonight. Isn't that right? You need it. So then, you need to wake up and be what you ought to be and try to be something for God, because I'm so afraid that some of you have already waited too late. I think you've already blasted me in your minds, criticized me, and tore me down so much, you that know better than to do it, so much, instead of working with me. You've already done it so much that I'm afraid that you've got on the bad list and that you may not get anything from God. I'm hoping that you haven't, but some of you knew better. You take a mother that's always, always, the mother is always upset at the daddy, always criticizing the daddy, always finding fault with the father continually. That's not much of a mother. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? That's not much of a mother. It kills the confidence of the children. And when the father goes to correct the children, then the children won't listen. Because mama, she's got to always run an interference with her gossiping tongue and her backbiting and getting over to tell her neighbor. You've wounded some of them to death already, some of the children. You with long tongues, you've wounded them to death already. You put deep wounds and scars in their hearts and minds. that will never heal up. You know, you let the little ones go out. You let the little ones go here and there, and they fall into the pits, and they get the little fingers mashed, spiritually speaking, and the little hands cut off and little broke bones. And spiritually speaking, all that is types and shadows. You let them, malnutrition set in. You just let them eat any old way, get any old thing, do any old way instead of being a real mother. We have people to come to little Bethlehem. I see them all the time. They come in and they want to get past you. They'd love to get here and hear the word of God. And they'd love to get in here and be part of this, but you just blast them, you tear them down, you get around this thing like that selfish son did, and you push the prodigal out, and you tell them how much more holier we are than they are, and you never bother to even give them a staggering chance. You stand up and prophesy here in the services, or speak in tongues, or stand up here and minister, or stand up here and testify, say something, and go home and live like the devil. Fuss and fight and feud and all those things, and people are just ripped, tore all to pieces because they can't believe in what you're doing. Some of you contractors, you take the boys out on your job and you fill their minds and ears with so much garbage until when they get here, their mind is so poisoned, I can't hardly tell them nothing. Some of you, I've even found this, that some of you will tell them, well, you believe so much of what Brother Pike says, but don't you believe all of it. You be careful. You've got to figure out some things for yourself. Brothers and sisters, you are not to figure out nothing for yourself. Whoever told you that is a liar. You don't figure out nothing for yourself. The Bible tells you not to lean to your own understanding. That stops your figuring to start with. He said to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. If the minister is speaking as the voice of God, you should trust in Him. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you haven't read the Bible yet. You can't preach. A fellow would be in bad shape if he didn't have the Bible with him. He had to preach a sermon. That's why the Bible said we are an epistle known and read of all men. We are the walking word. That's what the ministry is. They are the walking word of God. All right, I want to read this. I've read it many times before, and I'm not going to get to say but just a few words here anyway, because we want to give the kids a chance for the program. But I want you to turn to Revelation 12. We've read this to you many times. I keep drawing your attention back to it because there is a reason. There's a reason, and the reason is right here at this hour. If you was really hungry and thirsting after the things of God, and we had a chant to really talk with you and exalt you, then you'd understand what we're saying. Now, we appreciate our visitors. I saw some come in back there, some of the young folks. We appreciate them very much. We want you to know that you've got a hearty welcome in Bethlehem. And we appreciate you, and whether you live for God or not, we'd like for you to come out to the church, because who knows but what you might get a hold and start living for Jesus. One day I didn't live for God, and I went over the church time and two in a few places, and after a while God got a hold to my heart, and today I'm a preacher. So you never know. You might be a preacher and you've just not found your calling. Might be a great person in God, and yet you've never come to acknowledge it. Some of these more holier than thou that appears to be a blockage in your way might be sons and daughters of the devil. But don't mistake the fact that we've got some sons and gods at Bethlehem. All right. I believe also that Brother Gonzalo's brother was to come in tonight from Spain. I don't know if he's arrived yet or not. But he was coming in. They would pick him up over at the airport in Atlanta, Georgia. And I guess he'd be coming in. As I said the other night, he doesn't speak English. But I think he's a fine person. I understand he's a minister. Maybe we can use a little interpretation and might get a message from the foreign country. Who knows? I see something in him coming over right about now. All right, chapter 12 in the 7th verse. I want to read just a little. And there was war in heaven. I'd like for you to think on that. I would just love to be able to get with a bunch of hungry people for the gospel and get into the anointing of God and talk about the war in heaven. I just love to do it. But some of you are so sure you've already got the revelation that you're not hungry, and others are just so filled up on the things of the world, they're not hungry. And I've only got one or two, and usually they stay filled up because they come to me on the side and talk to me, just like the disciples did Jesus, and they stay filled up, so they don't draw too much when it comes to the services, and that puts the rest of them in bad shape. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, it's obvious here that the war in heaven is what really done the job. Isn't that right? It's obvious that the war in heaven really done the job. Now, I'd like for you to really think on this tonight, though I won't be able to say much to you, yet I'd like for you to really think on it, because at this time of life, China is beginning to enter the picture concerning the Union or Confederation of Nations. They are beginning to enter into the picture. And with that, remember, there's something that's taking place. China is denoted as the dragon nation. Remember that. And so then when she comes into focus, that means something is about to take place. And you can see right here, it says there was war in heaven. War in heaven. And it said that Michael, the great angel of God that disputed over the body of Moses, this great powerful figure, this great angelic power from heaven, he intervenes at this time. Remember, we spoke not too long ago concerning the body of Moses. And I'd like just love to get into the teachings of this, of what it has to do with the body of Moses. But anyway, remember, this great powerful figure was involved in the dispute concerning Moses' body. This great powerful figure usually shows up at the time of war. Just about the time that the angel or the powers of death was ready to close in on the body of Moses, here comes that great powerful warrior. And always, every time when there's problems, when there's war, when there's troubles in the earth, whenever and wherever, you might not recognize him, you might not see him, but all of a sudden he comes on the scene and he's standing there ready for war, ready to do something, because it is his job to make war. It is his job to overcome. And the Bible says that just at the very time that Israel is really fixing to have trouble, that all of a sudden here he comes to make war against their enemy. And here he stands up at the last day for his people, Daniel said. Right at the very time of the Antichrist, then comes that great powerful figure and that great powerful warrior. So then it says here, and there was war in heaven, and his angels, Michael and his angels, that indicates that there is a great body of angelic hosts or forces that follows Michael. There is a great powerful host of angelic forces that God has dispatched to Michael, and that when Michael gets ready for war, all of these great mighty beings come moving out to work with him or to fight with him against the alien power. Now, war, there's been war ever since the world started practically. Now, war, the way that men fight war, that's bad. That's bloody. That's bad, because they kill, they tear apart, they blow to pieces. But I tell you what, you've never seen a war until you see the mighty beings of angelic great, powerful beings come together and lock up, and they begin to fight with each other. Now then, that'll shake the entire world. That battle breaks loose in heaven, and Michael and that force begins to meet over here, and the great force of Satan begins to come against him this way, and they lock up together like that. The whole earth will begin to rumble like this. All of the heavens will begin to shake with the mighty forces of God there in the heavens battling against the powers of Satan. And it's got to come to pass. So it is that we see at this particular time, the Bible said that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and against the dragon's angels. And the Bible said that there was no more place found in heaven for them, but they were cast out into the earth. Now, just think about what a war. Think about what a war. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? A few angels getting together, battling. The Bible said a third part of the stars fell from heaven. You're talking about a war. But my, what a war. When the powers of God begins to clear the heavens. And at that time, that a third part of the angelic host. Just think now, millions and millions and millions of angels. And yet the Bible said that a third part of them will rebel against God. And when they lock forces there, and one third part of the angelic host is cast out of heaven, down into the earth. Think what a time that's going to be. All right, so then there was war in heaven. A lot of times we get a picture of it when we see out here the black clouds begin to billow up. Great, powerful black clouds begin to fill the heavens. And then we see over here white clouds begin to fill the heavens. And we see the cold clouds moving in. Then we see the warm clouds moving in. And then we see them coming together. As they begin to come together, all of a sudden, as those clouds begin to bump, they begin to lock forces, all of a sudden there's a rumble. You ever seen that? There's a rumble. And sometimes the rumble will start. It's just like freight trains in the air. It'll just keep on. It won't stop. I've seen it. Brother Bill, just continue on. Just go on and on. Just keep on rumbling. Just keep on rumbling. And after a while, it'll sound just like a great cannon went off. And you'll see a bolt of lightning sweep down across the heaven, coming all the way down to earth sometimes. And a lot of times it just blocks out the lights that are in the earth, because those mighty forces of heaven are beginning to lock up. See the cold and the hot coming together. Amen. That's the way it is. That's what those thunders are. We spoke of that one day here to the church. I believe they've got some of it on tape. But that's where the thunders come in. That thunder, the thundering that John heard has to do with the war in heaven. When that great voice spoke out and said, John, don't write it. Don't write what the thunder said. He was trying to express something to the church that we need to know. But see, what was those thunders? They had to do with that war. But if you'll notice that immediately after those great thunders took place, that John said, I saw these things in heaven. Immediately. Just immediately after that great voice of thunder, the seven thunders uttered their voice, and John was about to write. See, but God said, don't write it, John. And then he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, then the mysteries of God shall be finished. Isn't that right? And immediately the Bible said that the seventh angel began to sound. Then we see the great war in heaven. And we see the heavens open up, and John said, there, I saw it. I saw it as it was. I saw the great thing take place. And a great battle began to start in the heavens. And things began to take place. And then came the rumblings and the thunders and all the mighty things that God predicted would take place in the sounding of the last trumpet. See, and the Bible said, and there was war in heaven. And there was war in heaven. Every time you see those clouds clashing together, you know there's war in heaven. Remember, always remember this, that the good clouds, that is the white clouds, those clouds that bring us a little gentle breeze and a little gentle rain upon our land, those represent to you and I the good angels of God. Isn't that right? They're the clouds with the silver lining. But when you see the dark, boisterous, rolling clouds, you automatically know that trouble's on the way. Because Satan is in that. It represents darkness. It represents night. It represents a move in the earth that's going to create a rumble and shake everything to pieces. God does that. God causes that. That's what it's all about. That's why we're having the racial problem we're having. I tried to bring that out not too long ago. See, it's a wrestling, it's a fighting, it's a tugging. Something's going on. What is it? What is it? The hot and the cold's trying to come together. The darkness and light's trying to come together. See, but in Christ Jesus, we're all one in God. We're all the children of light. Hallelujah. We're not children of darkness, but we're children of the light. All of us are children of God in Christ. All right, so we see the war. We see the thing that's taking place. We see all of these things begin to happen in the rumble and the trouble. Why is that? Because there is war in heaven. Somebody would say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. You say there's war in heaven. When you say war in heaven, how do you relate that to humanity? You say there's war in heaven, but you want to relate that to humanity. Listen, folks, I've explained to you about the outer courts, the inner courts, and the innermost courts. I've explained to you about the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven. There's war in heaven. What heaven did it take place in? It took place in the second heaven. How do you understand that? See, the war was in the second heaven. Isn't that right? Like the clouds coming together. That's not in the earth. That's not beyond, way beyond where the great jets go up to, where the great spaceships go up to. Why in outer space? There's no such thing as that. But see, that's between heaven and earth. That's between heaven and earth. Why is it up there? For this reason. See, Jesus hanged between heaven and earth. That is the battleground between heaven and earth. Is that right? My soul is the battleground, the physical realms. My body and my spirit is trying to unite together. But the middle wall of partition is causing me problems. See, Satan set up between heaven and earth. I bring you to remembrance again of Daniel. Look at Daniel. Daniel prayed, fasted 21 days, he held on, asking for help from God. But every time the great angelic powers of the spiritual realm came down to redeem its body, Daniel's people, the Jews, every time it started down that old middle wall of partition, Satan, between heaven and earth, he'd intervene. And there'd be great trouble. There'd be a battle. There'd be something going on. A great conflict between heaven and earth. And always when those great powers of light started down, there's always an intervention and something began to take place. See, it's the same way today. That's where the trouble is. See, in the second heaven. What is the second heaven? It's a religious place. Amen. That is a religious war out there. It is a religious place. What's causing the war? It's because the hot and the cold is trying to mix. It will never do. The Bible said either be hot or cold. Isn't that right? But you can't be lukewarm and lock up together like this. If the cold comes in, if the hot comes in, then everything turns lukewarm and you've got a tornado. You've got a cyclone. Isn't that right? It won't mix. There's no way it can mix. You can't mix darkness with light. There isn't any way. See, somebody gets an intellectual degree from college and they think that they're a leader. And then God sends somebody from heaven, like John, a man sent from God, and they lock up. The little stone begins to whirl again. Whirl again. He's after the giant again. Why? They lock up. See, it won't never mix. You can't mix Christianity with the world. I've got great respect for men like Pat Robinson and Jim and others that's got the PTL clubs and all of those things. But brother, that's never going to work. They're doing something all right. God will suffer it. But when it comes to the ultimatum of God's design, God's word, that will never work. Because they're mixing the hot with the cold. They're mixing darkness with light. That can't be. You can't take senators and mayors and presidents because they're great men. They say that we are a religious nation here in the United States and that we are religious people. You can't take those people and say, come on and be on my program and lift them up as people of God. How can you do that? You're mixing hot and cold together. You're trying to make the world come in. You say, well, Brother Pike, I believe they're doing a pretty good job of it. I admit that they are. Typically speaking, we see the cold coming in. That is, we see the body being redeemed. We see the government becoming religious. Wasn't that what we said would happen years ago? We said someday that the religion, the Pentecostal religion, will get into the White House and it will take over. Somebody said, well, I never will believe that. And I didn't believe it when you said it. But nevertheless, Jimmy Carter's sister's Pentecostal. It happened just the way God said it would happen. When Jimmy Carter wanted counsel, he went to Oral Roberts. He didn't go to Billy Graham. Isn't that right? All the rest of them usually went to Billy Graham. Why? Because it had to happen the way that God said it would happen, the way God showed it would happen. See, the hot and the cold coming in. They are redeeming the body. And I made this statement. I said they're redeeming the body because it's time for the redemption of the body. All of them will go religious and turn it into a musical parade. But brothers and sisters, that will not be God's business. That will be the world, and the devil will pacify them with the thought that everything's all right. It doesn't matter whether they want to smoke or curse or drink or chew or spit. It doesn't matter if they want to play golf or go down to the beaches and have a frolic. Doesn't matter what you do. Steal, rob, cheat, lie, swindle. It doesn't matter. But brothers and sisters, it does matter. Like we heard about the man not too long ago blowing his brains out from Bourbon Street. Great, great preacher. Understand, he had wrote on the side of his plane, "We're praying for you, Elvis." But now, as far as we know, he and Elvis both are in hell. God don't play games with people. God isn't playing games. See, you can't mix hot and cold. You can't mix an intellectual understanding with a mind of Christ. You can't do that. And that's what they're trying to do. When they bring all these things together, that's what they're trying to do. That's one thing that really stirred the reporter up that came out here from the Atlanta Journal. He said, "I perceive such and such because of your conviction, such and such." I said, "Sir, you're exactly right. You're right." I said, "We don't believe in the things of the world. We're not isolated. We're not cut off, as the paper stated, in that we've isolated ourselves from people. The Bible said Jesus ate with the sinners and the publicans." I do that all the time. You do too. Our people go into the cafes week after week. And they eat with the sinners and the publicans. Don't they do it? God said that we should do that. But he said, "Come out from among them. Be a separate people, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, saith the Lord." So then, according to the Bible, we are to come out from among them. I know that we can't get out of the world as far as them naturally seeing our natural body. But yet, we're not of this world. Why should we love this world when we're not of this world? See, God has chosen us out of this world. All right, let's say a little more and we'll close. What is it? It's war in heaven. There is a war going on. The hot and the cold coming together. Now listen, somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, I look at the Pat Robinson show, the 700 Club. I look at Jim's PTL Club. I look at many of the Pentecostal and Baptist, different ones, the Catholic. And Brother Pike, I see those people all coming together. And they're having peace. Why shouldn't they have peace? The Bible said two can't walk together lest they be agreed. If I was of the world would love me. I could come together with them because they would love me and I'd love them. But brothers and sisters, you try to take all of that, every bit of it when it gets together, and mix it with what we got out here and see if it'll mix. It won't mix. Did you know that? They tell me you can't mix a mustard seed with anything. Said it won't mix with anything. Jesus said faith like a grain of mustard seed. You can't mix that. But you know what's going to happen? After they get all of those statesmen in, all the great celebrities in, after they gather every bit of it in, then there's going to be something missing. What is it? The all. The all. And then what are they going to do? They're going to say, "We need them Bethlehemites down there.
the tongue-talking, shouting people. We didn't think we had no need for them, but we're going to have to include them too. We got to get neighbor's little vineyard over there, or this thing ain't going to work. When all this confederation of nations come together, and they get this party in, and that party in, and another party in, and then they stand up and they say, look at us. There's one thing going to be missing. What is it? It's going to be neighbor's little vineyard. It's going to be Jerusalem. They'll never link arms with them. Somebody said, well, they're signing peace. They're trying to carry out a peace treaty. That's true. And while one fellow over here, he says, we want to sign. That great general's over there saying, we're going to have war. That's right. He said, I don't like the whole thing. I want to do it this way. Isn't that right? That's what Michael said.
Amen.
Let's have war. That's the only way to settle it. Isn't that right? Like something I was telling about today. Did it really happen? Man preaching under a brush harvest somewhere, and the fellow kept interrupting services. Just kept on interrupting services. Couldn't shake him loose. Finally, the preacher said, would y'all excuse me a few minutes? Said the place was filled with high grass all around the area. Said the man was out there in the high grass causing trouble. So he just got down on his knees and he crawled around the tent. And he got out there where the man was and he come nose to nose. And then there was a war. And then after a while, he came back. And people didn't understand. He said, I got scripture for it. Said, Paul said, fight a good fight. Said, I fought a good fight. Said, he won. So then Michael said, let's have war. That's the answer.
Amen.
Let's whip the devil and kick him out, and then everything will be all right. But brethren, you can't put all that together in the church. You can't. You're going to have rumbling. You're going to have backbiting. You're going to have tail bearing. You're going to have strife. You're going to have malice. Sharp cutting lightning. Cutting this way and that way. Sharp tongues. Cutting this way and that way. Always trouble, rumbles and rumors. See, rumbling. The Bible says they mumble and grumble against Moses till finally the whole earth began to shake and open up, and down they went into the pit. See, where are we at? It's war in heaven. And what does war in heaven do? It brings the end of the crisis. It brings the end. When they get them all together, they're going to try to mix with the real Pentecostal gospel, but it'll never do it. That's where your thunders come in. Just watch and see if I'm telling you the truth. See, what is it? It says when Satan was cast out, then I heard a voice. Here's another voice. And what was the voice? Now has come salvation.
Yes.
Now has come salvation.
Amen.
Now has come strength. What is salvation? That means deliverance. Check it and see if that's right. Now has come salvation and strength. You might not have strength to prevail against Satan, but you're going to have strength. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. He which accused them before God day and night. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. That's what made Michael go to war. They just kept on saying, I believe it. I believe it. God, it doesn't matter what my understanding says, I still believe it. Lord, if you said, by your stripes I'm healed, I believe it. I don't care what I feel, what I see, or what I hear. God, if you said you'd supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory, I don't care what I see, what I feel, and what I hear. I believe it. God, if you say that you have redeemed my soul from the dark, deep pits, I don't care what kind of war comes, sorrows and heartaches and pestilence, I believe it. You said it, and I believe it, Jesus. I'm holding on by faith.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Finally, Michael picks up his sword.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. God says, listen! The cries of the righteous has entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Pick up your sword, Michael. There's going to be war in heaven.
God.
Then she starts to rumbling and shaking. And things start to take place. That's where we're at. That's when the Chinese are marching in the areas of plains. That's where we're at. What is it?
It is the time of the war in heaven, for he shall wear out the saints of God. Then they shall rise and take the kingdom. It's the hour of the rising and taking the kingdom. Whet your sword. Get it ready. Sharpen it up. Amen. Be sweet. Be kind. Be bold. But whet your sword. War is at hand. It's time for the saints of God to rise and take the kingdom. Hallelujah. The Bible said when they do, they'll possess it forever and forever and forever. The time is here. Hallelujah. That's where the thunders are at. No need to write them down. They'll be lived. You'll see the rumbling. You'll see what takes place. You'll see the courage. You'll see the power of God. John, don't write it now. Why not? It may discourage the hearts of the people. When they told him about the land, said it's full of giants. Said we can't take it. Just don't write it now. Just wait. Everything's going to be all right. Just hold on. You wrote them enough. They know what I'm trying to say. Hold on. They'll see this. They'll see it come to pass. You love Jesus? Like Brother Dennis was telling me the other day. Said Brother Coleman, a great man as far as I know, said he's got those thunders. I said, he has. He said, yeah. Said he drawed a pyramid and stepped it off, love and temperance and whatever, and showed how that was it and what it had to do with there. I said, can't be. He said, why? I said, because the Bible said it's not written. And I said, that's already written. Then he said, well, Brother Branham said it was finished and the seals and nobody got it. I said, but that won't do me any good. See, if nobody got it, what good's that going to do me? I'm not saying it wasn't finished and sealed. I'm not saying that anything to dispute, but I say that doesn't do me any good. The Bible said I have an unction from the Holy One that I should know all things, the thunders. That's what I want to know. So it wouldn't do me any good. He said, you blowed my mind. See, God is with us. God is with us. Let's stand up together, folks. It's a great hour. Hallelujah. It's a great hour. A great hour. Unto you a son is given. Hallelujah. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? I feel that government, don't you? Hallelujah. Not by power of might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Praise God. Let's everybody hold fast. You know, I say this here at the closing of the service to come into the other part of our service. So here's the thing. Folks, you might not see anything happening. You might not hear anything. You might not feel anything as far as the world's concerned. But remember this. Paul said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. See, that faith is still working and things are still taking place. And everything is on time, just the way the Lord said. And you just stand still and see the salvation of God. Don't back up. Don't turn around and flee. Stand like a man and stand like a real woman of God. Just stand there. When the troubles, the heartaches, the sorrows, the poverty, the harassment, the fears, the perplexities, the bewilderments, the threat of sickness and cancer and all of these things, just stand there. When they're trying to shake your children, tear your children out of your arms and control, your neighbors won't let you rest, stand like a man and a woman. Stand there and believe God and everything will be all right. It'll be all right. Let's hold on to our faith. Something good is happening. Something good is happening. All things are working together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to His purpose.